working on it feverishly. I'm guessing this video is about Brian and Judy, and Judy might have sabotaged it, I'm not sure. But the Word of God takes preeminence anyway.
Amen.
So, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Amen.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to be focusing on verses 11 and 12. But I'm going to go ahead and read the context. Context is fantastic. Gives you a lot of information about the end of days. And boy, you really ought to pay attention to what the Bible says about the end of days.
Amen.
It says in verse 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now those are some shocking words. But I want you to think about this passage here, because I read the whole subject matter there, and you can go on to other parts, and there's other things before. But he's replying to something that he had said in his first letter to the Thessalonians, where he said that we were going to be gathered together with Jesus. We were going to meet him in the air, is what the Bible says. And then some people were really excited about that happening in their lifetime, and he said, well, wait a minute, you know, chill, relax, chillax is what they say now. Take it easy. It's not going to happen before certain other things happen. And he mentions several things. And I just want to point out to you that it's obviously getting close. Some things are happening. First of all, in verse 1, it talks about the coming of Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. Does that excite you at all? Amen. Does it make you think, wait a minute, Jesus Christ promised to come back again, and he's going to gather us all to him. He's not going to lose one, like was read in Sunday school this morning. Not going to lose one. He said, I'll raise them all up at the last day. And we're not going to be before the ones that have already died. They're going to come out of the graves at the same time, right before us. And we're all going to be together with Jesus Christ. Now, that ought to excite you. That ought to make your socks roll up and down. That ought to get you going for the Lord. It ought to excite you. That's one thing. In verse 3, though, it talks about a falling away. Now, you'll have new versions and they'll say something else, but I'll tell you what that falling away means. It means apostasy. That's the Greek word. It means apostasy. It means people who did believe or had a profession of faith, but they stopped believing what they used to believe. And that's exactly what has happened nowadays. And over there in 2 Peter, it says they're going to stop believing that there was a flood, and they're going to stop believing in the act of creation, and they're going to stop believing all of these other things that Christians have all along believed. They stop believing. leaving the standard doctrines of the Bible. And you know what that is? It's called an apostasy. And I tell you, if you're waiting for that to happen, you're too late. It's already happened. Christians are losing their faith all over the place, all the time. And people who used to believe in creation and in the flood of Noah, they used to believe that stuff. They no longer believe it. And they have all kinds of reasons. They'll have their pseudo-scientifical reasons. But I'm telling you, it's simply apostasy. Amen. Something else it mentions talks about a son of perdition. There's somebody coming who hates God. I don't know if you realize it, but you've got an enemy. The Bible talks, it calls him the accuser of the brethren. The Bible calls him Satan. And it says here he has lying wonders and he's trying to deceive you. And boy, is that going to happen. There is a son of perdition, a man of iniquity, a man of sin that's coming. And he's going to try to deceive the world. And it even says about him sitting in the temple pretending he's God. And he ain't God. He's not God. But he's going to pretend he's God because he wants the glory of God. And by the way, he wants you to worship him today. And if you're bowing down to an image, you already are worshiping him. That's not my opinion, by the way. The Bible says that six times. You bow down to an image, you're bowing down to a devil. That's what the Bible says. Now, don't want to hurt your feelings or anything. The Bible talks about a mystery of iniquity. Right there in verse 7, I believe it is, the mystery of iniquity, meaning there's something behind the wickedness that's in the world, something behind it. It's not just simple misunderstanding or even misapplication of something good. Iniquity has a spirit behind it. There's a mystery that's causing people to be more iniquitous, more sinful, more wicked than they ought to be. And people are wicked by themselves without any other help. By the way, there's an iniquity in your heart. It's a mystery in some ways. You can't figure out why it is you think certain things, why certain thoughts cross your mind, why you feel impulses to do things that you know are wrong, and why you have dreams that you cannot share with anybody because of what's in your heart. And the Bible calls it a mystery of iniquity, or it calls it the sin that's within us. He says it's by nature children of wrath, and that's what we are. I don't know if you realize it, but the world is getting more and more wicked, and it's not just accidental. It is caused by a spirit. The Bible says there are spirits out there doing damage. They're doing harm. They're spiritual wickedness in high places. And they affect your thoughts. And they affect thoughts over the whole world. And they affect the leaders of this world. You want to know why our leaders are wicked? Well, that's because there's a spirit of iniquity all over the place. And it's getting worse. Jesus says that iniquity will abound. And don't think it's just normal. It's not normal. It's a spirit working in this world. And there's also something else it says. Something's hindering it. That's what it says. Something's withholding. Something's holding it back. Something's keeping it from getting so bad. Something is making it work for every bit it gets. In other words, this mystery of iniquity, this spiritual wickedness is trying to harm us, trying to destroy the world, trying to, but something's keeping it back. He that now letteth, that means hindereth, he that now withholdeth, will withhold until he's taken out of the way. In other words, God has been restraining the power of the devil in your life up to now. He's been restraining the power of the devil in the governments up to now. He's been in the way of evil, in the way, standing in the way and keeping them from having their way. He's been doing that up to now. He gives them a little bit of rope and they do what they can, but he doesn't let them loose. He hasn't released them yet. But the Bible said, and be warned, the Bible said, whatever's withholding is going to stop. It's going to let it go. And when God lets it go, woe to the world. When God lets it go, nothing is going to stop it. Nothing is going to hinder it. Now, you might be all proud of your country. You might be all proud of your culture. You might be all proud of the things you've done in your life. But boy, when God lets go, you might find out everybody's got wickedness everywhere. It's all over the world. And it's all going to converge into the design, the desire of this mystery of iniquity, this man of sin, this son of perdition. It's going to go all to hell. You think it's bad now. You wait till God stops restraining it. Now, all that's just introduction. I was told I had to be brief. That's the introduction. I wanted to get to verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Wow. That ought to wake you up. God sends them strong delusion for that cause. Think about it. That they should believe a lie. You might not have thought of God in those terms. But you might ought to start listening to the Bible. It says that they all might be damned. That's God. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I've divided up my remarks this morning into 4 points. I do that to keep myself organized because I can go all over the place if I don't. The first one is delusion. The second one is God's reaction. That'll surprise you. God's not harmless. Be careful. And the third one is God's justification. He's got reasons for what he's doing. And the fourth one is God's benevolent intention. You might be surprised at how benevolent God is in everything he does. All right, let's ask the Lord to bless us. Lord, I ask you to give us some understanding. Bless your word. Make it clear. Lord, you know there's no way we can reach the heart. There's no way we can even make a truly persuasive argument unless your spirit guides the words and opens the heart. And Lord, you can do that. If there's someone here that doesn't know you as a Savior, Lord, I ask you to give them that understanding. You give it to them, Lord. Enlighten them and take them away from the deceit that's in this world. Give them clarity. And I ask you that because we depend upon you, Lord. We know it's you that does it. And I ask you to bless these that have decided to be baptized, Lord, that you'd protect them all their life and make yourself strong in their lives. I ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Strong delusion. God sends them strong delusion. All right, the first thing I want you to know is what delusion is. Delusion is not just a mistake. Delusion is not just being deceived. Delusion is not just error. Even though, you know, somebody could say, well, this could be translated this way, whatever. I just trust the old English Bible, the old King James Bible, and it says delusion because I believe God providentially made it clear to us what he's talking about. You might not believe that. Too bad for you. I'm telling you, you can trust the old English Bible. You may not be able to trust some pastor that says it ought to be translated some other way. Why don't you just trust what it says? Why don't you just let God tell you? It's a delusion that's coming. And a delusion is a confidence in something that's false and that is not fixable by evidence. In other words, it's confidence in something that's not true. True, pervasive, or persistent confidence in something that's not true in the face of overwhelming contrary evidence. That's what a delusion is. It's a common thing in psychology. They study it. They try to figure out what causes delusion. There's all kinds of delusion. You've heard of delusions of grandeur, and you've heard of delusions of illness. People think they're sick. I've heard of people having the delusion that there's insects inside their skin crawling around. I've heard people, they've had all kinds of delusions, and it doesn't matter what kind of evidence you can provide. You can show them it's not true. But it won't change their mind because their mind has messed them up. They've gotten twisted in their mind and they cannot be corrected. They can't be delivered from it. Why? Because their mind has decided that that's what's true and no amount of evidence can change their mind. That's what delusion has. I could go into several doctors and how they say it works and all that. I'm just letting you know that's what it is. It is a persistent, even though you have sufficient evidence that it's not true, it's a persistent belief in something that truly is not according to reality. You are out of your mind in some way. Now, I know that's what it is. Now, I want to talk to you about this delusion. And I just want you to know, delusion is common. We're not talking about an exceptional thing where you very rarely run into it. You've run into it this week constantly. Delusion. Delusion is everywhere. There's all kinds of delusions. And it's commonplace. And the delusions that's coming is going to be worse. But you already have experienced it. Delusion is everywhere. You've heard of religious delusion, right? You've heard of people who... You guys heard of Muhammad? Muhammad thought an angel talked to him. And maybe an angel did talk to him. But he became so persistent and certain that he had been talked to by an angel that he started a religion. And this religion told him to go out and conquer other people. And he killed I don't know how many people. And he stole their wives. If he saw one that was pretty, he would just take her. And that's the way he was. You know, that's not what God told him to do. There's no angel telling him to do that. Not a good angel. You heard of Joseph Smith? Said he saw an angel. Gave him some golden plates. I don't know. Where are those plates? Oh, they went received up into heaven. They disappeared. No evidence. Well, now that's very interesting. And maybe he did see an angel. I don't know. But this angel told him he can have more than one wife. Jesus told you if you marry again, you've committed adultery. That's what Jesus said. And Paul said if an angel from heaven tells you something different than what we've already preached, don't you believe him?
Right.
It's delusion. It's religious delusion. You heard of Jim Jones? He said, drink the Kool-Aid, and they all did. Why? Well, he thought he was some special coming of God, that he had some, you know, I hear it all the time. Some people say they got some value. They got some religious delusions all over the place. They've got religious delusions about waters that heal. Go to a certain place, bathe in this water, and it'll heal you. And there's no evidence of it. It's not provable. You've got Pentecostals going around healing people right now. I'm not trying to pick on you if you're Pentecostal. Too bad for you. I can't help you. It's delusion. You can't heal anybody. You don't have the power. I'm sorry. They're lying to you. It's a delusion. And maybe it's not delusion on their part. Maybe they are just being deceitful. Maybe they're just charlatans. I don't know. I don't really care. But if they really do believe they got the power to cast out demons, well, then I got a few things that I could use some help with. You got some power? A power against the devil? I'll bet you you don't. I'll bet you don't have any power. The only power you've got is prayer, just like the rest of us Christians, common, humble Christians, that the only power we have is prayer. Say, God, help me. And someday it'll come to you and you'll say, God, help me. There's delusions that you're somebody that you think you're something that you're really not. Delusion that you're better than you really are. And there's religious delusions all the time. The Pope thinks he's the vicar of Christ. He's the representative of Christ on earth today. What he ought to say is, I'm a believer just like the rest of you.
Amen.
If he believes. If you believe, that's all he is. He's a believer. He didn't see Jesus risen again from the dead. He hasn't done any miracles. He hasn't done anything to give him the sense that he's something special just because he got voted into office through politics. That doesn't make you a vicar of Christ. The Pope is not the vicar of Christ any more than you are. But if he's a believer, he could be humble and say, I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus Christ. And that would carry a lot more weight with me. Just tell me that. Don't be like this David Koresh and say you're the second coming. Don't be telling me that and then say you want to borrow my wife. You're so full of delusion. Go jump in a creek. I'm not loaning you my wife. There's all kinds of delusion, folks. There's pseudo-scientific delusions. Did you know that? You know there are people who really do seriously think outside the box and believe that something came from nothing?
Yeah.
That's a delusion. They talk about the Big Bang. They say, yeah, it was all in a little bitty spot. And then all went boom. It exploded faster than the speed of light. Boom, exploded. Well, where'd you get that? That's not science. Just guessing. Just guessing because they don't want to believe the truth. We were created. This whole thing was created. It had to have been created. You know, something doesn't come from nothing. And if it was nothing before that, it couldn't produce anything because it was nothing. Do you listen to yourself? Do you listen to yourself? Don't talk to me about multiverses. Don't be ridiculous. All kinds of pseudo-scientific. There's political. There's political. There are people who actually think that mankind is good at heart. They think if you just give men people, you give them liberty, they will do the right thing. Well, where have they been? Where have they been? We've been looking at humans for thousands of years now. It's never been done the right thing. People don't choose to do the right thing. The Bible tells you that there's wickedness in our heart and we've got to be controlled. We cannot just allow ourselves to do anything. You have to repress certain things. Did you know that? There are people who are so deluded about the goodness of children that they refuse to let you spank your children. And there are some places, probably states in these United States, where you go to jail for spanking your children. Yeah, very possible. I don't know for sure. I know it's not that way in Texas yet. But there's a whole bunch of people who would love it to be that way. Say, don't spank your children. Why? Because they think children are innocent. Boy, you haven't had any, I guess. Children are not innocent. They need to be controlled. They need to be taught. They need their conscience to be educated. They need to know what's right and wrong. And they need to have a strong mama and a strong daddy to say, no, you're not doing that. It's just a matter, but there are people who are so deluded about what humanity is. I guess we could call them humanists. But whatever it is, whatever this delusion is, they think, and it doesn't matter how much evidence you point, you can show them evidence after evidence, and they'll just keep on believing it. No. They just know that kids are innocent. No, kids are sinners. Amen. Just like you. You were a kid. Amen. You know you were a sinner. Come on. Even when you were a kid. Transgenderism, that's a delusion. You can't change reality. You can't stop being a girl and become a boy. You can't. You can pretend, and some people will humor you. I won't, but some people will. They'll make you feel like you, okay, yeah, okay, we'll call you sister now. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter. You're still not a girl. It's not going to change who you are. And if you really do believe that, you really think, no, I was really born in the wrong body, you're deluded. Especially if we can show you a picture of yourself and you can still say, I was born in the wrong body. No, you're wrong. If you have doubts about what you are, look down. Stop being deluded. Transgenderism, homosexuality. They're getting married. Are you a homosexual and you're getting married? Do you even know what marriage is? It just lost all sense, all common sense. They don't know what it's all about. Marriage is not so you'll feel good with somebody. Marriage is not so you'll have somebody to be with you when you get old. Marriage is about protecting women and children from evil when people get together. Because children need mama and daddy. Yeah, that's what marriage is about. And it makes sure the woman is protected if she's going to be bearing children. What do homosexuals need that for? And you know, just because they want to feel right. They want to feel like it's okay. And they want everybody else to say it's okay. Well, I'm here to tell you, it's not okay. And it's a delusion. It's a delusion that has become very common in our day. I work with plenty of them. They'll hear this message as soon as I can get it uploaded, and they'll be upset at me. But they're already upset at me. You know why people are deluded? Delusion comes from not valuing truth enough.
Amen.
It's simply an undervaluing of truth. And that causes delusion. Think about it, folks. Think about it. There's a lot to be said about undervaluing truth, and I'll get to that on my fourth one, talking about God's benevolent intention. I want you to know, on the second part is God's reaction. Lots of delusion around. Lots of people who don't value truth. Lots of people who just don't think it matters. They think truth doesn't matter. They say your truth and my truth, and everybody's got their own truth. Truth is relative, and you can just figure out your own truth. Try to discover yourself. Find yourself, and we'll all agree with you. That's their idea. They don't value reality. They don't value observational truth. That's not what's important to them. And so, because they don't love the truth, and the Bible says they don't receive the love of the truth. It's because God is trying to get you to love the truth. But you won't receive that. God and preachers have been for a long time trying to get you to care about the truth. But it's really hard to get a congregation to care about the truth if the truth is inconvenient. It's really hard to get a country to care about the truth if the truth goes against their narrative. No, I'm telling you, you get ostracized if you tell the truth in some circles. You get rejected. You might get thrown in jail if you tell the truth in some circles. It's not convenient. It's not popular. It's not a happy thing when you go around telling the truth to people that don't want to know the truth. And if they don't want to know the truth, you know what the Bible says God will do? He'll send you strong delusion that you may believe a lie and so that you will be damned come that day. That's the God you claim to worship. I didn't say this about him. God said it about himself. It's in his book. It's right there. He says, if you don't love the truth enough, he will send you strong delusion and you're going to believe a lie and you will be damned. How much do you love the truth? Just how much are you willing to go inconvenient, uncomfortable to follow the truth? What I know is people would rather you just not say anything than say the truth. Just don't say anything. Don't be annoying. Don't be that kind of person that's always telling people. Yeah, don't be that way. Don't be those preachers that are always telling people the inconvenient truth. Right? No. Let me tell you, God says he's going to send them strong delusion. You see, most people have the Santa Claus imagination of God. He's basically harmless. God, he won't hurt you. God would never hurt you, no matter what you do to him. You could slap him in the face and he wouldn't even react. That's the way you got your God. That's the way most people think of God. It's the Santa Claus illusion. Santa Claus is the invented, by the way, truth, Santa Claus, yeah. Kids, anybody kids in here? Santa Claus doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. St. Nicholas, you shouldn't pray to him. Should never pray to St. Nicholas. That's idolatry. All right, I told you. God is not harmless. God is dangerous. You're supposed to be afraid of him. Why aren't you afraid of God? You think God can't hurt you? Do you realize every bit of pleasure you've ever experienced, whether it's the taste, whether it's sexual pleasure, whether it's the dopamine that gets in your brain when you take drugs, whatever pleasure you felt, that was God that gave it to you. And you know the pain that you feel? That was God put that pain there. It was for your good. The pain is for your good. But why in the world would you think that God is incapable of harming you? God might not judge you. God might not come down and call you to account and make you give an account of everything you've ever done and said and all that. And then he's not going to do anything to you. He's just going to give you all amnesty because he's just so fond of you. He thinks of you like you think of a puppy. Just wants to hug you and cuddle you so tight. That's the way God is. And if you reject him, he'll just weep in his room. That's not the God I worship. That's not the God found in the Bible. You know what the God in the Bible does? He drops miles of water from the heavens and drowns them all. He drops fire and brimstone from the heavens and burns them all up. That's what the God of the Bible does. That's the God that these people want to criticize. They say, "No, we don't like that Old Testament God. We don't like that guy. He's too mean. We don't believe in that. We believe in the good God." They think he's the God of the New Testament. Jesus talked about hell more than anybody else in the Bible. He said, you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there because the fire's not quenched and the worm dieth not. You don't want to go to hell. Jesus said, you better be afraid of him that can kill the body and then destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus said that. You think Jesus is harmless? Dad was doing his Sunday school, and he said that they showed up there with swords and weapons and soldiers, but he had never hurt anybody. But he forgot. It was just that same week he went in there and beat up all those people, changing and making a market out of the marketplace, out of the temple. In the temple, they were all there changing, and they threw over the money changers. And you know, he was so forceful that it scared them. Of course, they sent soldiers. They were afraid of him. And then one of them cut off the kid's ear. Cut off that guy's ear. Cut off his ear. Why? He was dangerous. Let me tell you something. You don't know how dangerous he is until he comes back the second time.
Amen.
The Bible says he's going to come back and his vesture is going to be dipped in blood. The Bible says the blood's going to splatter all over him. God is angry. And if you don't think God is angry, then you need to read your Bible. And if you don't think he's angry at you, then you need to consider your own sins. God's angry. God's angry at this world. And the only thing that keeps you alive is his love.
Amen.
The only thing, the reason why you're still breathing is because he cares about you. But don't pretend he's not dangerous. Don't pretend he won't hurt you. Don't pretend he's not going to do something about it. Oh, no, I know that nowadays nobody wants to discipline. Good grief. Now, you can almost, I've been there. I've watched it happen. People shoplift with no consequences. I was paying for something, and a man walked out with one satchel here, holding another satchel. He had four satchels of cordless tools. Those things were probably $400 a piece. And he walked right out there. And the clerk says, hey, you need to pay for that. He walks out there and a Mustang drove up. And he opened the door and he just jumped in there with all that stuff. And they drove off. So I went and got their driver's, their license number. I got their license tags. And I walked back in and I said, you need the license tags for the police? And they said, no, we're not going to call the police. Well, no wonder it's so expensive. They're not going to call the police. They just get away with it. And you know, in some places, even if they get caught, they just let them out. Nothing's going to happen. You know why? They're deluded. They got a real problem. They really don't understand. And you know what? They wish God was that way. But God's not that way. God's going to judge sin.
Amen.
And God hates sin.
Amen.
God is holy. Did you know that God is a judge? Did you know that God is sovereign? Did you know that God makes decisions about your life without asking you your opinion? And you know something? If you're awake and you say, God, I have an opinion about that, he'll say, I don't care. He's going to make decisions about your life and not ask you and not care what you wanted. He's doing it right now. He's probably done it to you many times. You won't fear him? You don't have any fear of him? God, who makes decisions about you without caring what you want? I'm afraid of that. You ought to be afraid of that. That's something scary. And God is. He's sovereign. Did you know he's decisive? You ever known somebody who makes a decision and they will not change? Some people say, I'm stubborn. They mean it as an insult. I take it as a compliment. Just make a decision and don't change. Just make a decision and don't change. Sorry, that was the decision I made. Too bad. Just stick by your guns. Go for it.
Amen.
That's the way God is. He's decisive. He says, I'm done. I'm done with this. That's over. And there's nothing you can do to change his mind. That's what he says. He says, you can't change my mind. Who's been his counselor? Who's given him advice? Who's telling God what to do? Nobody. And not you either. That doesn't make you fear? You think God's harmless? He can hurt you. You ought to be afraid of him. Did you know he's powerful? He made this whole thing.
Amen.
He made this whole thing. You talk about taking a lot of power. That takes a lot of power. Did you know he's smart? He's a whole lot smarter than you. Did you know he's undeceivable? You can't deceive him. You can't pull the wool over his eyes. You can't hide in the dark. There's nothing you can do about that. Did you know he is unforgetful? He remembers. He remembers everything you said. He remembers. Now, you've forgotten a lot of things you said. Probably why you're still sane. But God remembers. Did you know God is holy? Not a wicked thought crosses his mind.
Amen.
No evil. Did you know that God never lies. You're not doing the right thing and you're not afraid of God. You're living selfishly and you're not afraid of God. You're living for yourself and you're not afraid of God. You're doing whatever you want to do and you're not afraid of God. You're patting yourself on the back and you're not afraid of God. You're treating your wife wrong and you're not afraid of God. You're treating your husband wrong and you're not afraid of God. Do you not realize who God is? He can hurt you.
Yes.
He can destroy you. He can tear you apart. And the Bible says He's going to do it. He's going to do it to all those who don't love the truth, that they might be damned. That's what He says. All right? Is there any justification of that? You don't like that God. God's too mean. God's too rough. God doesn't understand me. God put me in the wrong body. God did something. God did this. God did that. You got all these complaints about God. Have you ever thought that God might have good reasons for everything He does?
Amen.
He thinks things through. He's had a long time to think things through. A whole lot longer than you. And He's not being selfish about it. He does nothing for Himself. Seriously, folks, everything He does is for you. He's not hungry. He didn't make bananas taste good because of Him. He made watermelon taste good because of you. Everything He does is for you. He's constantly working things out for you. Is there any justification for God saying, I am done with you? Because He'll say that. Can you consider the possibility that you have exasperated God too long and that God someday is going to say, no more. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not putting up with anything anymore. And it's going to hurt and it's going to be painful and you're going to scream and cry and holler and say it's unfair, and He's not going to care. He's not going to care because He's God. And He's not allowed to overlook your sin. Now, that bothers you about God, I'm sorry. I'm not here to apologize for Him. And I'm not here to tell you that something that'll make you like Him more. It's not my job to make you like Him. He was hated without a cause when He was here. He could be hated right now, and it's not going to affect His self-esteem. He's already got a lot of self-esteem. Did you know that there is no presumption of innocence with God? You see, somebody arrests you and you're presumed innocent. Because we humans, we're kind of stupid. We don't know what you're thinking. We don't know whether you really did it. We can't tell when somebody's lying. I can't tell when somebody's lying. My wife is way better at understanding when somebody's lying to me. She'll say, I think he's a liar. And I'm thinking, oh, I thought he was telling me the truth. People can deceive me all day long. I'm not good at it. I can't pick up on the clues. Some people read body language and can tell whether you're lying. You know, they train the Border Patrol agents. They train them to pick up on lies.
Yeah.
They do. They actually put them through training so they can just ask you a few questions. Where are you going? Where are you coming from? What are you doing? What's your birthday? And they can tell whether you're a liar or whether you're nervous or whether you got something to hide. I can't. But have you thought about God? There's no presumption of innocence with God.
Amen.
God doesn't have to presume you're innocent. God doesn't have to put you through an evaluation and let you take a polygraph test and then go through all kinds of hoops to make sure your civil rights aren't being broken. God doesn't have to do that. God knows what's in your heart right now. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what the future holds. He knows how stubborn you will be if He just keeps on letting you go. So when He finally says, I'm done, I've had enough, I think I'll trust God on that point.
Amen.
I think God might know more than I know. I think God might know more than you know. When He says, I'm going to send them strong delusion, I say, I'm on His side. Do you realize that God wants to clarify judgment? That's what He says. He says He does things so that every mouth will be stopped and all the world will become guilty before God. But sometimes you got to give somebody a little bit of rope so he can hang himself. You just let them have a little rope so everything becomes clear. Motivations become clear if God gives you a little bit of rope. And that's what He's doing. When He says He hardened Pharaoh's heart, He hardened Pharaoh's heart because he wanted to make some things clear. He made sure that Pharaoh's heart was so stubborn that he could do all of his miracles so that his people would come out of there after that devastating time. And so he says he hardened Pharaoh's heart. But it's not because he hated Pharaoh. He knew Pharaoh. That's what it is. And he knows you. And if he says he's going to send you strong delusion, he already knows you. He knows your thoughts. And if you don't love the truth and he sends you strong delusion, so you believe a lie and so you are damned and nobody can contradict him. He'll make it clear. My dad tells a story about him driving about 90 miles an hour, 95 miles an hour, trying to get home. He was driving in New Mexico and the cop pulls up behind him and lets him drive for a little while and then puts on his lights, stops him right in front of the stop, just right in front of the sign that tells you how fast you're supposed to be going. Pulls him over and stops him right there. Sign, 70 miles an hour. How fast were you going? 95 miles an hour. There's no argument. There's no argument. Now, if he'd pulled him over a little bit earlier, he might have said, well, wait a minute, I don't know, it's not posted, who knows, what? Yeah, all these arguments. And cops get tired of the arguments. So they do things to make things clear. And that's what God's doing. He's going to make things clear. He's going to make sure everybody decides whose side they're on and whose side they're taking. He wants it clear. He's tired of all the half-hearted people. He's tired of all the Sunday games. He's tired of all the people that say, I believe, and they don't really believe. He's tired of that. He's going to make it really clear. So he's going to send them strong delusion. And if they don't love the truth, they're going to be vulnerable and they'll fall for it. Yeah, they will. And everything's going to be clear that judgment day coming. Everything's going to be clear and God will be justified. Justified when he judges. That's his purpose. God does not deceive. He cannot lie. But he will allow deceit to thrive. He will withdraw his restraining hand and let it go. So that you will clearly be against him. So that you'll make your decision clear and judgment then will be very incontrovertible. Nobody will be able to answer a word. That was what he said he's doing. All right, one more thing. I told you I'm going to talk about God's benevolent intention. Because it might be thinking, well, man, you know, God's pretty rough. I'm not sure I like this God. But let me tell you something. He warned you beforehand. He said this 2,000 years ago. He wrote this down 2,000 years ago. He told everybody what's going to happen all beforehand. There's no surprise. This is not a gotcha. This is not entrapment. It's all written down. It's all clear. He says, this is the way it is. This is what's going to happen. And then he gives it all clear and he says what the solution is. He says the solution is to love the truth. Love the truth. And I'll bet you don't love the truth quite enough. You don't like it when people tell you the truth.
Amen.
You don't like it when people tell you the truth. It bothers you. It offends your sensibilities. It offends your pride. People don't like the truth. That's one thing they don't like. And if they don't love the truth, they're going to be damned. You got to care about the truth. You got to say, I want truth. I want the truth about myself. And the truth about yourself is not pretty.
Amen.
Why would he tell you now? Why would he tell you now? He wants you to start loving the truth. I don't know how to help you if you don't. You need to stop dismissing all the contrary evidence. Somebody says you're a sinner, don't sit there and argue and fight. Figure out if you're a sinner and then correct it. Repent. Lady comes to me and says, I asked her if she was married and I just met her. I said, are you married? And she said, no, I'm lesbian. I said, okay, you know that's a sin, right? She couldn't believe that I was right in front of a bunch of people and I said that. And she said, yes, I know it's a sin. There you go. What, you want to lie? You want somebody to lie to you? Tell you that's okay? Because a whole lot of people will do that. They'll tell you that's okay. But I'm going to tell you it's not okay. God says it's not okay. That'll get me put in jail someday, perhaps. But I'm telling you, it's not okay. It's a sin. Why do you want people to lie to you? You need to stop all this ungrounded confidence that you have. You know, self-esteem is not good for you if you're a lousy person. If you have no self-control, you shouldn't have any self-esteem. If you have no accomplishments, you shouldn't have any self-esteem. If you haven't done anything worthwhile, you shouldn't have any self-esteem. Kids should not have self-esteem. They haven't accomplished anything. They don't even pay for their own food. Why should they have self-esteem? Stop all the ungrounded confidence. You need to be humble and learn. Let God tell you something. Let the truth come out. Oh, I'm telling you, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You need to stop enabling falsehoods. You need to start loving the truth. Stop enabling the falsehoods. Stop telling your kids about Santa Claus. Stop it. Stop it. Stop defending other religions that tell you untruths, that tell you lies. Stop it. Why? Because God tells you got to love the truth. And if you don't love the truth, you're vulnerable. You're going to be judged. The Bible says you're going to be damned. Doesn't that scare you? You know something? You need the truth more than your necessary food.
Amen.
The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. The truth costs. It's going to cost you. Then don't sell it. It's expensive, I know. Buy it and don't sell it. And if this offends you, if this has bothered you, if I've said something that stepped on your toes, don't be mad at me. I'm a nobody. Trust me, I am a nobody. I don't have an internet following. All I'm telling you is, just check it out. See if it's true. Because if it's true, you have time to correct yourself. You have time to get it right with God. You have time to say, God, I want to follow you no matter what. Whatever your word says, that's what I'm going with.
Amen.
You don't have to believe the religious leader. You don't have to believe the Pope or the priest just because they got their collar backwards and they're wearing a robe. You don't have to believe them. You don't have to believe me. If I was wearing a suit and a tie, you wouldn't have to believe me. It doesn't matter what I say or what they say. It only matters whether it's true or not.
Amen.
You find it in the Bible and see if God tells you that, then you follow it. Then you believe it. And if you start caring about the truth, then you will not be vulnerable to this. You will not be vulnerable to the delusions if you just love the truth. Lord, I want to ask you for a blessing here. I ask you for Michael and Gary, Lord. They've given their life to you. They want to serve you. God, I ask you to make it real to them all their life, that they'd have you as their Lord all their life, Lord. They'd walk in newness of life. Bless them this day. Bless Brian and Judy, Lord, as they're getting ready to go. And we're going to miss them, God, but we want you to flourish them. We want them to have great success in missions there, and they'd learn the language and be valuable to those people, and valuable to Corey and Magda and their other co-workers. God, I ask you to bless them. God, I ask you to bless the food that we have prepared today. And Lord, I ask you to bless it to our bodies, and thank you for preparing it, and those that did prepare it, thank you. Bless us, Lord, as we try to serve you. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This meeting is not over until we've had the baptism. We're going to ask the people that are going to be baptized to go on out to the pool, and I'll be out there, and we're going to baptize, and then we're going to come in and eat.